Okay, it's an incredible schuss to be back together. Shabbat, everybody. I want to start out by thanking, first of all, Lisa for always taking care and sending out and making sure everyone knows about the shiurim, and to Naomi for taking care of getting us this beautiful makom, spacious makom, to be able to have shiur in a place where everyone should feel comfortable, but have shiur in person the way it's supposed to be. Be big schus for your beautiful mishpachas, Bez Hashem. The schus to be back together on Matzei Shabbos, you know, for a long time, before the world was turned upside down, we had shiur together every single week. Most of the time, we went back between Thursday night and Matzei Shabbos. A lot of them were on Matzei Shabbos. And I always felt it was very special to learn Torah on Matzei Shabbos. And to grow together on Matzei Shabbos. And first of all, no more special way to start one's week. You know, we all love Shabbos Kodesh, we're all elevated on Shabbos, feel closer to Rabbonu Shalom, reminded of who we are, spend beautiful time with our families. We're real. And Matzei Shabbos, to go back into the week and start, even though Shabbos ended, we made Havdalah, we got into our cars, we came here, we're going to go right back into Ruchnius. It's a sign of how the week should be and how our lives should be. To elevate the week and take Shabbos into the week. Not only that, we all know Emes. There's a pasuk that says Zelu Mazeh. This is opposite this. And what that means, many deep svarim explain, that whenever you have the potential for tremendous Kedusha, you have the potential for tremendous Tumah. So it's well known that, unfortunately, Kol Averas Tachas Hashemesh, like all the worst of things that ever go down in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, somehow go down on Matzei Shabbos. It's the time, what some call and refer to as Saturday night. A lot happens then, especially in the teenage years. And therefore, why is that? Because Matzei Shabbos is mamish the holiest of times. Matzei Shabbos in a certain way is even holier than Shabbos itself, because we have the opportunity to elevate the mundane, to mekadesh the physical, to mekadesh even the week, to bring Shabbos, as we said, into the week. And when therefore you have potential for tremendous Tumah, unfortunately, for Kedusha, there's unfortunately potential for Tumah. So to get together and be mekadesh this time, something very, very special. It'll bring us big things, Bez Hashem. You know, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, that says if Klal Yisrael, if we are zoche to keep two Shabbosos, we'll be zoche to the Geula. I'm sure all of you have been puzzled by that Gemara. You've heard that Gemara stated. You've heard that when you've heard Shiurim on Shabbos and how important Shabbos is. But it's a little strange. Why two? Why two? Why not? Imagine if all Klal Yisrael kept one Shabbos. If we all kept one Shabbos, that's not enough. That's mamish incredible. And if you want more than one, so we have a number that's brought down in Halacha and many Gemaras of three being a Chazaka. Three is a Chazaka. Three shows a strength, a consistency, a commitment. So if you want to have more, okay, one, Hashem says one, really. Come on, okay, you did one, let's show me something. So then it should be three. Where's two come from? Why if we keep two Shabbosos, we'll be Zoyich et Mashiach? And the Siva Shalom, the Hilgas Lana Merebbe explains that Shabbos is Shabbos Kodesh. But Shabbos is also a name used for the week. By Sfiras HaOmer, the Pasuk says we should count Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. Seven complete weeks. Calls the week, the Shavua, Shabbos. So the word Shabbos can mean what we refer to generally as Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh, but it could also mean the week. Flamer Rebbe explains, you know, we zoyche to Geula. You know, we zoyche to Mashiach. And we keep shtei Shabbosos. Which two Shabbosos? Shabbos itself, And if Shabbos was so holy, and Shabbos was so special, and Shabbos was all that it was supposed to be, it should uplift and change our entire week. Therefore, the week that's called Shabbos should be a completely different week. When we keep Shabbos and the entire week afterwards in the way that we're supposed to, that's when we'll be zeichet. So there's no better way to show we're going to keep this week in such a way than to start off by learning Torah and connecting the Torah together. So Bez Hashem, we'll be zeichet to that geula this week. So I want to learn tonight about something that we've been seeing constantly in the parasha, in the last few parashios, as well as the upcoming parashios. You know, there's one long, we're in the middle of one long story here. No, you can't talk about one parasha in a vacuum even. You know, really from the birth of Shvatim, but at least, at the very least, from Yosef HaTzadik being sold, let's say, until, I'd say, the Yisro and the Kabbalah Satorah is one long storyline. One long storyline of Klal Yisro going down into Galus and going through Galus Mitzrayim, which we're going to read about this upcoming Shabbos, Parsha Shemos, and Ve'era, and Bo, and Bishalach, all of the Makos, and the Geula, and eventually the Kabbalah Satorah. It's all one long story. We're just in the middle of the story. And it's very beautiful, very exciting. We love reliving these stories and connecting to these stories. And to seeing more amkus, more depth, and not just learning them again the way we learned them when we were in kindergarten. You know, every single one of us, we came home with a picture many years ago of Yaakov with his hands crossed, giving brachas to Menashe and Ephraim. We all, I don't know if we remember when we were little children, 4 or 5 years old, with that picture for Shabbos that we brought to our parents. And we just read Yisimcha L'Kim K'Ephraim V'Chav Menashe this morning. Hopefully at this age and this time in our life, it's a different understanding, more depth. It's not just the same storyline. We're understanding deeper ideas and deeper Torahs. So too in all the stories that we're learning. So something I found very prevalent throughout all these parashios, something that comes up time and time again, are tears. Crying. Something we've spoken a little bit about over the years, but I don't understand it on a very deep level. We find a lot of tears. If you look back at last week's parasha, Parashas Vayigash, maybe the most emotional parasha in the entire Torah, where Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers, Ani Yosef, where Yaakov and Yosef meet up for the first time in 22 years. But what we find is crying time and time again, tears and tears and tears. We find Yaakov crying with Yosef, crying with his brothers, Yosef crying on Binyamin's shoulder, Binyamin crying on Yosef's shoulder. Then we find Yaakov and Yosef at Tzadik meeting up and Yosef crying on his father's shoulder. A lot of emotions, a lot of tears. These are beautiful tears. These are tears of joy, tears of simcha, tears of emotion. But we do find a lot of tears. We find a lot of tears. And then, Mir Tashem, this Shabbos Kodesh, will go into Mitzrayim, into the world of Golus. And we're going to read about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. We all know the story. Moshe Rabbeinu was born 3 months early because there was a gzeira that all the Jewish baby boys would be killed. So his mother, Yocheved, could take care of him for those 3 months. And then she places him in the water. We can't imagine what that was. And Bathsheba Bas Paro finds her. And the Pasuk says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav, Vatiftach vatir'eu as hayeled, she opened up and she saw this child, v'hinei nar bocha. And again, we find tears. Moshe Rabbeinu is crying. Vatachmo love, she had mercy on him. Vatomer miyaldei ivrim zeh. This must be a Jewish child. She didn't say, by the way, if you look closely and everything in Torah is exact, she didn't say immediately when she saw this baby in the water, this was a Jewish child. It was after she saw v'anar bocha. After she opened up and saw him crying. And maybe to show us again, Yidden, as Yidden, we're crying. We're constantly crying. She says, Nar Boicha must be a Jew. If there are tears, it must be a yid. As we're constantly crying. Yosef, Yaakov, Shvatim, Moshe. So why is that our symbolism? Why is that the mark of a yid? Demos, tears. Why is that the mark of a Jew? And when people hear tears, so I was a little bit careful when I was sent out to Eliza to post what the title of this year should be. And I had in there, I don't remember exactly what I sent her, but something to do with crying, something to do with tears. And I switched it up once or twice. Because I didn't want anyone to think, chas v'shalom, you're coming to a shir that's going to be a morbid, sad, you know, description of why it's okay to be miserable. Or it's okay to be depressed and be crying. Chas v'shalom, nivdas Hashem b'simcha. We as Jews want to always be happy. Especially in these times. The world needs to see our happiness, our joy. When we live in a world, unfortunately, that is so sad and depressed, we need to be the ones that shine light on the world and show we're besimcha, we're above it. None of this brings us down. We're realistic what's going on, and we deal when we have to deal in the proper ways, but we're also besimcha, and we're dealing in the best of ways we can. And we're growing together, we're learning together, and we're in person together. Halavai. We'll be in person without any masks, and in person much closer. We're davening for that, but the time being, this is what the Eibishter wants, and this is how most people are comfortable. We're going to do this. B'simcha. So anyone to think for a second in the title, the tears mean sadness. That the nar boicha of a yid, the mark of a Jew is sadness. Chas v'shalom. Yes, it's true. There have been many tears over our generations of difficult situations. There were many tears through pogroms and through the Holocaust and through Gullus. But that's not the mark of a Jew. What tears are we... those tears as well. But what are the tears overall? What are these tears that... V'anar boicha... And Basya Baspar says, Miyaldi Ephraim, that's a Jew. That's a Jew. So what are tears? We have to understand what tears are. And I believe tears are the most beautiful thing in the world. Because tears are the most real thing in the world. When a person is most real, when a person is most being themselves, when a person is most in touch with themselves and their chitzonios, their exterior, is one with their pnimios, is one with who they are inside, which is our goal, which is what we all aspire to be. When we're most real, that's when we cry. That's when we cry. In fact, Chazal teach us that teach something very deep, the neshama, the soul of a Jew, is most directly correlated and is close physically even to the eyes, to our eyes. It's based on Gemara and Brachos. And that's why it is, by the way, that's why it is that our eyes are so sensitive. Think about it. If a speck of dirt touches anywhere in your body, you hardly feel it. A speck of dirt gets in your eyes and mamash, it kills you. It's like you got to get it out of there. You got to wash it out of your eyes. A speck of dirt anywhere else, it's fine. You don't even feel it. Because our eyes are so sensitive to physicality, to materialism. They're so spiritual and so holy. That's why Shemiras and I, and what we look at is so important. What we allow our eyes to see, we're coming upon Shemos at the beginning of Shoivim. We spoke a few years ago to women how this is important for us as well. It's not just for men. Shoivim and what we look at is not just for... Okay, men have their own challenges that may be different than most women. But does that mean a woman as well can look at whatever she wants, whenever she wants? What we look at has an effect on who we are. What we allow ourselves to see affects us. How we think, how we live our lives. I think tznius is somewhat, obviously, different for a man and for a woman, and what one is. But ultimately, what we look at has an effect on us, and we have to be careful what we allow our eyes to see. It's very, very important for women as men, and as the time in the year when it's a focus of Yidden. And that's because if we understand how important our eyes are to our entire spiritual makeup, because that's where the neshama is, that's where the soul is. And therefore, what are tears? And how I understand tears. Tears are the language of the soul. And the tears, they come from the eyes, by where the nesham is. It's the language of the soul. And it's when the soul is saying, I'm most alive. I feel I'm you. You're kulo neshama. You cry. And you know what the tears do? They take away they go down and they come out of the eyes. And our face, which is often fake, and often not who we want to be, and often not the real me. You know what it does? It's so beautiful. It washes it away. When the tears stream down your cheeks, what it's doing is washing your face and reminding you you're most real. Your pnimius is who you are. Don't be fake. You know, in American culture, this is, and in the American language, this is called a face. This is called a face. You know where that word comes from? You know what the origin of the English word face is? Anyone know? It's a Latin word. A lot of it comes from other languages, a lot of English. The Latin word facade. A facade is something that's fake. In fact, if you say face with a hard C, it's fake. Because so often our face is fake. So often I act in one way when I'm with certain friends, I act another way with my parents, another way with other friends. And who's the real me? I don't even know anymore. I forget. I'm not even in touch with myself. You know what happens when you're not the real you? You know what happens when you're living for others and we're just trying to impress others and act in a particular way amongst other people? You know what happens? Again, we lose sight of who we are and we find misery. Because nobody is happy when you're not yourself. Nobody feels good about themselves when you're living for others. But that's often my face, which is fake. Lashon HaKodesh. What's the word for face? Panim. What's the root of panim? Mipnim. My face should be who I am inside. My face should be who I am inside. If my face is who I am inside, I'm shining. My pnimius, my chaitonius is one. That's the beauty of a yid. And when am I most real and most myself and most in touch with my pnimios? When I'm crying. Because when I'm crying, again, those tears come straight from my neshama and wash away all that's fake. Wash away my face completely. Think about it. It's not, tears are not sadness. Tears are most real. When I'm most real, when I'm most alive. So yes, it happens when I'm very, very sad. And what that is, when one is very sad, their pnimios and chitones are all in touch with what's going on in that situation. They're most real. There's no fake. And when you're so besimcha and feeling a moment, you're also, your pnimios and chitones become one, and you're most alive. So I'm crying at a chasna because I feel most alive there. I feel most real there. I feel most in touch with myself and who I want to be at this moment. And I could cry when I haven't been there for a while and I just walk to the Kaisel Ma'aravi and I haven't said a word of Tefillah yet and tears start streaming down my cheeks. Because I feel most alive again. My pnimius and my chitonius is one. And those tears is the language of the neshama. And that's why it is, of course, why we're always crying. That's why it is that, and we'll explain, Yosef was crying and Yaakov was crying. The Psukim don't talk about Yaakov. He's saying Kriyashma. We know that's all. Another Torah. And the Shvatim are crying. And Moshe is crying. Because what it is to be a Yid is to be real. To be true. To be ourselves. And that's the voice of our neshama. Bona Shalom brought me a very special matana. You take the gematria of Hadimos, the tears. Hey, Dalad Mem Ayin Vav Tov. Hadimos, the tears. Is gematria 525. Exactly, gematria, kol neshama, the voice of the soul. You spell kol without a vav. Kol could be spelled with a vav, without a vav. Kol neshama, the voice of the soul, is had the most the tears of a person, or most real. At the schus, this past Sunday. To be by a beautiful simcha in our neighborhood. It was gorgeous. It's beautiful to have simchas and to feel normal and feel real. Where a chaver of mine, Yanki Newhoff, gave a Torah. It was so beautiful on so many levels. He wrote a Torah and a Chnasa Sefer Torah to his shul, by Rabbi Friedman Shlita, where I daven often. What was so beautiful about the Simcha, besides for any time, if it's chus to have a Chnasa Sefer Torah and bring more Harbatzah Torah into the world, and the dancing and the singing and the... It was just real, true Simcha. Simcha Shel Torah. But he wrote it also in the schus of his son's bar mitzvah, his son Yosef. I don't know how many of you, maybe some of you, spent summers in Camp Ask. You might know Yosef. Yosef is a delicious, wonderful 13-year-old boy who was born with disabilities, autistic, and therefore doesn't have the ability, when he becomes bar mitzvah, to lane and to be involved in the same way that other bar mitzvah boys are. And for Yanki and his Eishes Chayil and Shandli, they thought, what can we do special? But we want to do something special for our son's bar mitzvah to celebrate, that he should feel special. And you should have seen him shining. If you saw a light outside this past Sunday, it wasn't from the sun. It was from Yosef Nuhof, just his simcha. And this Achnas Sefer Torah, it brightened up this whole neighborhood, for sure. Wherever you were, I'm sure of it. If you felt something special going on this past Sunday, that's what it was. I'm telling you, it was so special. It was amazing. I brought my son, Uriel. I live just like 2 blocks away from Yanki. So I brought my son to be there to write the letter. It was the first time they let him sit down and be the shliach to point the sofer. You know, he's 6 years old. He can't write a letter himself. You have to be bar mitzvah. I had this chus to write a letter, but he didn't have this chus to write a letter. But he sat down and he made the sofer that he should write a letter for him. And I brought him and I wanted to be by the dancing, singing a little bit. I thought after 10, 15 minutes he'd want me to walk him home. I'd walk home and come back. He wouldn't leave. Two and a half or three hours straight. He didn't want to leave. My 6-year-old son, he was loving every moment. It was so beautiful, so real. You couldn't leave if you wanted to leave. It was too special. But I'll tell you the most special part for myself. Emes. All of it was incredible. At the very end, after the writing of the Torah and the dancing through the streets, and getting to the shul and meeting up with the other Sifrei Torah, which is a beautiful minhag we have when we have Achnas Sefer Torah, the Torahs that you have, you know, welcome this new Torah, and dancing in the shul. Then there's a few tillim that were said so beautifully, and it's over. I don't know where Yanki, he wasn't planning on, he says, I want to speak for just a couple minutes. And it was so beautiful how he spoke about this simcha. And he was real and honest and sincere about the challenges it is raising a son like Yosef HaTzadik that they have. But speaking about what his chus was for this simcha, and then speaking about his Eishes Chayil, we can't imagine what it is for a mother to raise a child with such love and such devotion, and the way he spoke about his wife. Unbelievable. And the whole time to watch him with tears streaming down his cheeks. And I don't know if any of you or some of you might know Yanki. He's not a type of individual who wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's a very special person. He does a lot of tremendous, that I know personally, chesed and arbatzas Torah, incredible things. He's a very, very special person. Incredible. Like, world renowned, incredible things he does for this entire community that people don't know about, not just for entire community, like incredible chesed in Hask, incredible chesed in the world, like crazy things. But he's not that emotional type. He just does. He's a doer. But to see those tears streaming down his cheeks. And what were they? They were tears of simcha. But it was him being as real as could be. It's so out of his personality to give that speech even, to talk about his wife publicly in such a way. But he had to be most real. At this moment, his neshama was just literally jumping out of his goof. He had to be real, and he's just crying away. And I'll never forget it. And that's the tears of a year. Just be real. That's the tears. Those were the tears of Yosef HaTzadik. Well, Yosef HaTzadik for all these years is not being himself. Yes, in hiding he is. We know he was learning and he kept true to who he was. But ultimately on the outside he's wearing these clothing of a mitri, of the second in command. He's a slave by Potiphar. He's in jail. This is not who I am. He couldn't be real. And for the first time in 22 years he could be real again. Because he's with his brothers. He's with the people he wants to be with. So what's he doing? He's crying. He's being real. His brothers shvat him all these years. You don't think they second-guessed themselves of this decision that they made? Yes, they came from certain places and they rationalized and convinced themselves of all the claims they had on Yosef Tzadik and why they did what they did. But ultimately, you don't think they second-guessed themselves over the years? And all these years, they couldn't be as real as they wanted to be because they're hiding this from their father. They're not being real, ultimately. They're living a lie, right? They're living a lie. All these years, they're living a lie with their father. You don't think that was eating them up inside? We don't speak about this much, but think about it. You don't think it was eating them up inside this whole time? So they're crying when they see Yosef. You know why? Because now they could be real again. The lie is over. All truth. They could be real. We're going to cry. Yaakov Avinu, he sees Yosef. All these years, something deep down, he knew there was something missing in his life. It wasn't why, he refused to be consoled. Hashem gives him atana. We should always be comforted after a loss. Baruch Dynamis, he couldn't do it, you know, because Yosef was still alive. He knew that somewhere deep inside. We're most real, we cry. And you know what these tears do for us? These are the tears that bring Geula. The Pasuk says in next week's parasha, Parasha Shemos, Vayihi bayomim harabim ahem, Vayomas melech Mitzrayim, Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael min avoida, Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael min avoida, Vayitzaku v'tal shavasam alakim min avoida, Vayishma alakim et nakasam, Vayizkur lem es brisos, happens to Yaakov, and he's going to bring the Geula. And it goes straight into Moshe Rabbeinu and the burning bush. When does Hashem remember? When does the Geula begin? When Vayizak, when we're screaming in tears to Hashem. Vayonchu, when we're crying out to Hashem. Meaning the Yisoid of what Hashem is waiting for us to bring Geula are tears. But why? Not because He wants it to be said. It's the tears of being real. The tears of truth. The tears of being ourselves. That's what Hashem wants from us. That's what Hashem's waiting for. What happened at the beginning of Golus? You know, we're living in Goshen all these years. Things seemingly were great. We had it all. Yosef's taking care of us. We're living it up in a beautiful paradise. And suddenly the Pasuk says, in Perek Aleph of Shemos, Perek Pasuk Ches, Vayakom Melech Chadash Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yadas Yosef. A new king came that didn't know Yosef. And we all know famously, you all know the Rashi, right? Whether that was a new king or the same king with new ways of looking at us. Either way, like what really, let's say especially if it's the same king, like what changed? Why suddenly now, Golus? Seemingly for the past 17 years, until now, everything was good. Like why suddenly, Golus? Why suddenly the Egyptians treat us differently? Why suddenly we're being persecuted? And slaves, and terrorized, and killed. If you look at the pasuk before, the pasuk says, "Uvnei Yisrael paru v'yisutu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'maod mod." That the Jews multiplied tremendously. Batimali aritosam and filled up the land, and then that's when the Golus began. By Yaakov Melech Chadash, very next pasuk. Now, if you read carefully, textually, there's an extra letter here that's very strange. It says, Vayirbu Me'atzvu Bimod Mode. What should it say? Vayirbu Me'atzvu Me'od Mode. They multiplied very much. What do you mean, Bimod Mode? The Kliyakar explains, Bimod Mode is a reference to something we say every day to understand. We say, V'haf Hashem Lechecha B'chol Lavcha B'chol Nashcha U'v'chol Me'odecha. Me'odecha means your money, your physical possessions. V'yirbu v'yatzvu, they physically multiplied, had many children, but also, that was v'yirbu v'yistrusu already. V'yistrusu, right? Paru v'yisru v'yirbu v'yatmo b'maod maod means b'maod maod. In their money, they also grew tremendously. And v'atimali haaretz osam, the Medrash says, therefore with their financial success, they felt good about themselves. And they started becoming part of Egyptian culture. They were in the theaters and in the cultural centers, in the Colosseums, so the Medrash says. Then Paro comes and says, Golos. Meaning what? When we started to walk like an Egyptian, that's when Golos came. When we were no longer staying true to ourselves, when we were following the society that we're in, we were following the immoral, unethical world of Egyptians. That's when Golos began. And when, therefore, did the Geula happen? What does Chazal teach us? What's the chus for the Geula? Shloshina eshmam malvusham l'shonam. We didn't change our names. We didn't change our names. We kept Jewish names. We didn't change our clothing. We kept Jewish garb. We didn't change the way we spoke. In other words, what? It was being the part of us that was true to ourselves was the key to the Geula. The part that stayed real. And that's what Golos, by the way, sadly, when we are persecuting Golos, I've heard this from Avram Shor, Shlita, many, many times. It's to remind us, be yourself, don't try to be like them. That's why we suffer in Golos. If we're most real and we're most true, we're most real and we're most true, Golos doesn't have to happen. Hashem is with us. That's what Hashem wants from us. And those are the tears of being real. And we have it in us to be real and be true. Where do we see this already, this illusion that we have it in us? You know, right away by Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is given brachas for all of us. The Avram ben Tishim Shana v'teishas is in Parshas Lech Lecha Perag Yitzayin. The Avram ben Tishim Shana v'teishas Shana. Avram was 99 years old. Vayera Hashem al Avram. Hashem appeared to him. Vayomer Nikel Shaka Yisalech Lefana v'yitamim. Walk in front of me, you'll be complete. Ve'edna Brisi, I'll give a covenant, a treaty beiniu veinecha between me and yourselves. Ve'arbelcha, and I'll make you great in all ways. Bimon mo, Pasuk Beis and Parag Yitzayin. The same exact words. I don't know if they come up anywhere in all Chumash. Bimon mo. What is that telling us? It's an allusion to Bimon mo here. Meaning, I want you to Bimon mo in the proper way. I'm going to make you great, but stay true to yourselves and be yourselves. Not what happens in Mitzrayim and leads to Golos. That's why it was. Some of us had this chus together, to be together 1 year ago. A few more weeks will be a year since we had a very special shir in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. A shir in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh and Benny and Elliot Hammer's apartment in Ramat Eshkol. It's going to be a year. A year since I've had this chus to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's very, very hard. The longest I haven't been in Eretz Yisrael in 25 years, I think. Hopefully. I'm davening. Davening in a few weeks somehow to get there. I don't know. Can't imagine this could be a full year won't be in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about the same idea with a lot of different Torah, but the same Yisod, and we said then that the very first words spoken to the very first Jew, the first words to Avram Avinu, the very first words that God said to Avram Avinu was Lech lecha me'aretz me'aladcha me'zmicha el aretz asher areka. Pasha p'shat, leave your homeland, go to Eretz Yisrael, right? We all know this. But let's take the first words in a vacuum, Lech lecha. Maybe what he was saying was the first words to every Jew, and therefore it's the lesson of our life is Lech lecha, go to yourself, be yourself. Lech lecha, go be yourself. And don't get fall into artucham ladcham esavicha. Don't fall into the culture and the land and even your own home. Be true to yourself. In other words, don't stop crying. That's how Yaakov was eventually. Yaakov Avinu, the Yaakov who unfortunately dies in this parasha, leads us into Golus. Yaakov emulated that, embodied that. Yaakov, we know. Yaakov, we know famously, in the beginning of Vayishlach, he was living by Lavan for all these years. So he's living in a society, an immoral, full of sheker, full of immorality, full of all that we live in. But in Lavan garti v'tariyug mitzvah shamarti, right? We all know famously from Rashi. In Lavan garti v'tariyug mitzvah shamarti, he kept strong. How did he do it? Look, there's another pshat in the Rashi. It doesn't say just tariyug mitzvah shamarti. The first pshat was lo nasisa sar v'chashav el ager. I stayed a stranger. Meaning I realized I'm always different. I stayed separate. I looked at myself as different, and I lived differently. I was true to myself the whole time. I was real. I was true. And then he stayed strong as a Yid, even in the darkest of places. And we can as well. We cry. We cry and allow those tears of the neshama to wipe away anything that's fake, and just be real. The biggest tragedies of any person's life is not being real. When you don't live up to yourself, you're not real and true to yourself. Eventually, that lie comes crumbling down, and all that you find is depression. You know, when we're dating, you gotta be real. Don't be afraid to be real. Don't be afraid to be real when you're dating with a young man, whatever it might be. I don't know if I should open up about this and open up about that. Be real, be true. You want your relationship, your whole life to be one big lie? You know, ultimately, that's going to come crashing down. Who you are is who you are. And be besimcha. Obviously, we're always growing. We always want to be more. We're always yearning to work on ourselves. But we have to be true to ourselves. True to ourselves in our hashkafos. There isn't one type of Jew. Sadly, there are certain circles, certain cultures, and certain worlds that push. You have to fit into this box. And if you don't dress in this particular way, you're not from. And if you don't daven ma'ariv every single night, then you're not from. And if you don't X, Y, and Z, and if when you're married, you're only going to be the person that never would have a meal with another couple, you're not from. Last time I checked, I don't know. I never saw in the Shulchan Aruch that there's only a particular, there's Hilchos Tznius, there's a way, of course, there's halacha that we all have to abide by to the best of our ability. But most of the things I just mentioned are nowhere in the Shulchan Aruch. There's hashkafa, which every person has to find within themselves. What's best, it's important. Don't get me wrong, it's important for yourself to be real, be true. But when you're trying to be someone you're not, you're just going to find sadness. Then you'll just find sadness. Be real, be yourself. You see anyone else in the five towns wearing this? If I walk in Williamsburg, they think I'm crazy, because only the rebbes would wear this. But this is how I want to be with Kavod Shabbos. Okay, I don't care what people think. I know I'm doing it for Rabbi Nishon, for Shabbos Kodesh. And then I can be besimcha. Because if I'm going to fit into that box and make other people happy, I'm not going to be happy with myself, and I'm not going to be happy in my relationship with the Rabbi Nishon. Let the tears wash away all that's fake. Be real, be true, be yourself. Again, within the confines of halacha. And find, again, within the confines of hashkafa that's best for you. Together with your baim and your teachers and your friends to help figure out who is the real you. You have to figure that out, and that's very important. Be real. Look at this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu gives 12 different brachas. To all of his shvatim, to all of his children, different brachas. You go work, and you'll support this one for Torah. You sit and learn. You be the king. You work on your anger management. If you read through them, they're not even really brachas at all. He's just pointing out all their character traits and all their midos. My Rebbe, Umari, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Chayesh Baracha. I'll never forget sitting by him, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parsha Vayechi, and him going through the brachos and explaining what's going on here. It's just him, it's just Yaakov pointing out midos. Some of them very bad midos. And he explained so beautifully. Yaakov was giving the biggest brach in the world to his children. Yaakov was teaching his children who you really are. Be true to yourself. And Reuven, you be Reuven. And Shimon, you be Shimon. And Levi, you be Levi. And Yehuda, you be Yehuda. And Yisachar, you be Yisachar. And Zvulun, you be Zvulun. If Levi tries to be Reuven, and if Yisachar tries to be Zvulun, the world collapses. Nobody's besimcha. Nobody's happy. There's not one way. Chveslish, I know some of the seminaries, they tell the girls, only if you marry a guy that's going to sit and learn for Chveslish 10 years in Ramadish Gol, are you going to be happy if you're living in two bedrooms with seven children and he's only learning and... Sheker shebesheker. I'm not saying some people don't do that and it's the most beautiful lives in the world. Of course some can. But there's also people who are married to businessmen and doctors who wake up 5 o'clock in the morning to sit and learn from 5 to 7 and then daven and come home and have beautiful houses and based on Torah and Yerushalayim and Avos Hashem and are just as much a lechachila. It's not better or worse, it's different. You have to be emes to that. To be emes to that. To be emes to yourself. You have to be real. You have to be willing to cry. Be willing to cry. You know, there was a big tzaddik, Rav Yitzchak Vorker. And his best of friends was the Kotzke Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotzke. Rav Yitzchak Vorker eventually, unfortunately, passed away. He had a son, Mendel. And the Mendel was waiting, because the way of Sadiqim were often, they'd come in a dream to their children and tell them how they're doing, to give them a little nechama up in Shemayim, you know. And Mendel's waiting a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, after a month. His father never came to him. It was very strange. He thought he'd for sure come to him in a dream. So he goes to the Kotzke Rebbe, his best friend, and he says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, my father still hasn't come to me in a dream. And the Rebbe said, I want you to know, your father hasn't come to me in a dream yet either. I thought he's for sure come to me. I'm his best friend. So after he didn't come to me for long enough, I went to him. And I went up to Shemayim. You have to know who the Kotzke Rebbe was to believe such emes. Sadik Yisrael Olam. He said, I went up to Shemayim and I went into all the palaces of Shemayim. The palace of Rashi, and the palace of Yaakov, and the palace of the Vilna Gaon. I'm looking all over trying to find. Trying to find the tzaddik, trying to find Rav Yitzchak Vorker. And everywhere I asked him, no, they say he was here, he passed by, but he's not here anymore. He's not here anymore. And finally, a group of malachim, they say, you want to find Rav Yitzchak Vorker, you got to go through that very dark, the dark forest on one end of Gan Eden. You got to go through there, and at the end, you'll find him. Very strange. The Kotzke goes, and he's trudging through this forest. It was scary. And he gets through, and he opens up, and he sees this massive ocean. And he sees from the back, Rav Yitzchak Vorker standing at the edge of the ocean, just staring out to the ocean. And he comes and says, my best friend, Rav Yitzchak, has everything. You haven't come to tell us how it is. You haven't come to me, you haven't come to your son. He says, I want you to know, I came up to Shemayim, they took me to all the different palaces, they offered me all the most beautiful places to be in Gan Eden. And then they took me here. And I came here and they explained, this is the ocean of tears. These are all the tears that have ever been cried from every yid throughout all of history through this dark, long, cold gulf. And I just couldn't leave. And I said, I'm not going to leave here until this ocean is dried up, until there are no more tears, until the Gula comes. We could understand that in two ways. Pasha Pshat, obviously, most would understand before tonight's shir that those are all the tears of sadness which we no longer want. But maybe that whole ocean of tears is collected, is held onto, because it's waiting for that ocean to completely fill up, those tears of being real. those tears of being real, of being true to ourselves, that's going to be the key to Geula. That's what Yitzchok Vorko is watching and waiting for each and every one of us. You know, I'll tell you, I'll be open. I have it myself, personally, anytime I cry. A lot of people, when they cry, they immediately are, someone's handing them a tissue and wipe away their tears. They never wipe away a tear. Never wipe away a tear. I'll never wipe away a tear. You have to blow your nose. But to wipe away a tear, I'll never wipe away a tear. Because I'm a tearing, I feel most alive. I feel most true to myself. Never wipe away a tear, chavra. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Be true to who you are. Leich lecha. Don't stop crying. Amir Tashem, that's chus, you'll be zoicha. First of all, the prat, each and every one of us, you'll see. You'll find your personal geula. We all have our struggles, our personal struggles. When you're true to yourself, you'll be besimcha. You'll find that geula. And when we're all true to ourselves, that's when we'll be zoicha to geula shleima. And Mashiach zekeinu. Have a good avach.